What is up, young adults? Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Also, follow us at YA_PowerOfLove. And as always, thanks for tuning in.
What's up, y'all? It's Courtney. I'm excited to bring the word for you today. We're going to jump in right away. We're going to go to Ephesians today, and we're going to talk about one of the two Ephesians prayers that Paul prayed for the church. And I've been reading over this one for the past few days because I was reminded of it during a message that I was listening to. And I remember the first time, I don't remember what minister had talked about the two Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. I've actually heard it by several ministers that just talked about, if you want to understand everything that God has for you, or really not just everything, because like Pastor Sandy said this past week, there's men and women of God, even in their old age, that they've come to the realization, I know a lot about God, but at the same time, I know nothing, you know, so we never get to that place where there's where we know everything that there is about God. There's always sides of God that we've never experienced, encountered, and discovered. And so there's depths that we get to discover from the Word of God. And there's parts of our inheritance, there's parts of our redemption that we're not walking in our lives that we need to be walking in. And so these prayers are what we ought to be praying daily. We ought to be praying and seeking the Lord and asking the Holy Spirit that our eyes would be open to every truth that's of the Word of God. We want to walk in the fullness of everything that Jesus purchased for us at the cross, at his death, burial, and his resurrection. We want to understand the gospel in freshness. And so we're going to talk about Ephesians 1 prayer today. So if you have your word, let's go to Ephesians 1 together. And I'm in, I'll go to the New King James Version. Although I like in the Amplified Classic, but we're going to do that. So it's not as wordy to read over podcasts today. So let's start in verse 17, Ephesians 1, 17. This is the prayer that Paul prayed. We'll start actually in 15. He says, and this is entitled Prayer for Spiritual Wisdom. So therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul starts by praying. He's praying to the Father of glory. He's praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, that the Father would give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation so that we can know him. And Paul was the one, remember that Paul was the one that said in Philippians 3, that I may know you, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Even after all that he's discovered about Christ, even after all that he has uncovered and been unveiled to by the Lord, his aim, his desire, the thing that he sought the most was to know Christ more, to know the sides of him that he's never known, to understand him, to know his beauty, to see Christ. And when we see Christ, we really see our life. In Colossians, it talks about how Christ, who is our life, that our life is hidden in Christ and Christ is hidden in God. And so the more that we're discovering Christ, we're discovering our life. We're discovering all that Christ has purchased for us and given to us and has been made available. At the beginning of Ephesians, you can read, and I think it's in, let me just scroll up. It's in Ephesians 3. It says, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So there's something about all the things that have been made available in Christ that we have to discover. They're not things that we walk in automatically. That's, you know, something I had thought, you know, early on in my walk is that, you know, then why isn't everybody walking in this? If Christ has healed us, if Christ has redeemed us, and why did I hear that story? Or why did I hear that story? And it wasn't until I discovered that people have to hear this message in order to be able to have faith in it. And you have to have faith in it in order to walk it and to receive it and to believe it and to accept it and to make it your own in your life. There is the path that God has for us. It's the good path that He's laid out before us. And it's the path of life that He has prearranged. It's the path that shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. But how do we get on that path? It's through this Spirit of wisdom, this Spirit of revelation, that we may know who we are, that we may know Christ. And by knowing Christ, we know who we are, because our life is hidden in Christ. It's the same thing that Paul said in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I'm not living any longer. It's Christ who lives within me. My life no longer continues. I was there when He was crucified. That's why He said, I was crucified with Christ Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ and His life that continues to live on the inside of me. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who loved me. He's the one who redeemed me. And He's the one that has given me this brand new life in Christ that I've discovered, that the Holy Spirit's unveiled to me, and that I'm now preaching to you. He was so excited. He had the privilege to get to share the most glorious gospel, which is that Christ lives on the inside of not only the Jewish people, but also the people that were not the original people of God. He's extended to everyone and all who believe, all who would accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when you do, He said that Christ Jesus will actually live and abide on the inside of you. So a little bit of a tangent there, but there's all these things that have been made available to us, but we need this Spirit of wisdom, this Spirit of revelation, so that we may know the fullness of the Lord, the fullness of Christ Jesus, the fullness of all that He has done. And so let's go to this next verse in verse 18 of Ephesians 1. It says, so he's praying here. He's praying for us. This is we can make this our personal prayer as well by just changing it to you, to I. May, Lord, that you may give me the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling. Just change the words a little bit. So going back to verse 18, he's praying, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And in other versions, I like what it reads in other versions. In the New Living Translations, it says, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand. In the King James, it says, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. In the Amplified, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be flooded with light. And so that's what, in the other Amplified version, it says that you may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. And so, it's this idea that we have to receive light on these truths of the Word of God, these truths about what it really means to be in Christ. And so he prays, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. So number one, so that you can know and understand what the hope of your calling is. There's when you pray this prayer, and it's something that you're praying daily, and you're asking the Lord to show you these things about your salvation, about your redemption, about who you are in Christ, what's going to begin to happen is that you're going to know the high calling of God. You're going to know that there is a call that's upon your life, that God has called you, that God has chosen you, and you're going to understand that your calling's high. You're going to know that He's chosen you, He's set you apart, He's set you aside, He's consecrated you, He's made you holy for a specific calling, a specific purpose, and you're going to understand it very clearly as you pray this prayer, that you may know the hope of his calling. The second thing that he prayed is that you may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so that means you're going to see your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You know, when we got saved and born again, the Bible says that all things have passed away. Behold, I've made all things completely brand new. And so we truly have put away our old nature, our old self. It's been crucified with Christ Jesus, and we've been risen up to newness of life with Christ. And so the old you, the old life, the old way of thinking, the old habits, the old conduct, the old speech, the old character is all dead. It's crucified. It's been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. It's been buried in the grave. It's been punished and condemned in hell, never again to be raised from that place. But instead, you've been raised to newness. And so you've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom, out of confusion, into the glorious light of the Son of love. And so there's so much more than just being able to get to heaven at the end of your life when your body dies. You're not just going to heaven, but there is so much more that we have in Christ. We're to live completely different and distinct from the world. We are to be those that stand out. We should have supernatural lives. We should have lives that bring glory to God. We should be at the top as children of God. We should be so successful, so hardworking, so productive, so full of the grace of God that we outwork, outperform, outdo, outrun, and excel in everything because of the grace of God upon our lives, because of the power of God, the ability of God, because we're now with Christ and Christ is with us. There's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing that can defeat us. There's nothing that can move us. And there's nothing that's in the word that we can't have. There's things that the people of the world will never be able to experience because they're not in Christ. But the things that are in Christ is our inheritance. And so when you pray this prayer, what you're going to start to discover is you're going to see all that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You're going to see what's your portion. You're going to see what's not your portion. So you reject it, you resist it, you refuse to have it in your life any longer because you know that was a part of your old life. And so it's been put to death. It's been crucified. It's never again going to raise its ugly head. You're never going to have to see it. You never have to look back. You can go forward. You can move upward and you can go into all that God has for you. And that's what the riches of glory, of the glorious inheritance that he has in the saints. It's the heritage. It's the inheritance that he has. And if you think about inheritance is it's what a father, parents will leave for their children. It's the good things that they store it up for their children. And there's a scripture, it's in the Psalms. It's either Psalms 30 or 31 or 32 or somewhere in the 30s where it talks about the goodness that God has stored up for the righteous. How great, how wonderful is the goodness, the good things that you have stored up for your righteous people. That's what the scripture says. That's what the psalmist said. Because there is daily benefits. There is daily good things that are in store for us. And it's not for the people of the world. It's not for the people serving the devil. It's not for the people that want nothing to do with God. It's for those that are in Christ, that know the love of God, that have been given a new heart, a new spirit, and who are serving the Lord with every fiber of their being. And so when you pray this prayer, your eyes will be open up. You're going to see the fullness of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, you're going to walk in it as well. And let's continue in Ephesians 1 prayer. So we just read verse 18. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And the third thing that Paul prays here is in verse 19. He says, and that you would know and understand what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe. It's the same working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So it says this third thing that he prayed for, that we would understand, you and me, when we pray this, when we meditate on this, is that we're going to experience this tremendous, exceedingly great power, which God released when Christ, God released in Christ, and it was towards us who believe. So there's a power that we can't tap into without this understanding. There is a power, and it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Think about that for a moment. Meditate on it. Selah. That's what the Bible says. Think about it. Think about the power that it took to take the whipped, bruised, bloody, crushed, crucified Jesus, who was scourged at the pillar, who carried the cross up to Golgotha, where he was crucified, where he had the crown of thorns on his head, where they pierced his side and blood and water came out. They took him down from the cross. They laid him in a tomb. And for 3 days, his body laid dead in that tomb. And in that, what happened there was he didn't, his spirit went to hell for us. He was crucified, but his body was as good as dead. It was dead. Not as good as dead. It was dead. But think about it. It was dead, 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 dead. But what took him to completely change in a matter of moments? And it was the power of God. It was the resurrection power of God. It was the same power that rose Christ from the grave. His body, when he rose, he wasn't still scourged. He had the scars in his hand, but he wasn't a bloody mess. He didn't look the same way that he was put in there. He was completely transformed, brand new. And he went to hell. He defeated the enemy. He destroyed every power against your life in hell, because he faced the devil. He crushed the head of the devil. He took back the stolen keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he rose back from the grave, from the dead in that moment. But that was tremendous power. It was the exceeding great power that was able to resurrect him. That same power is at work within us. It's the same power that's at work in the believer. Understanding this and having our eyes open to the power that is available to us is essential. And there's more. If we've understood this scripture a little bit, there's more to the scripture that we need to understand. And so as we pray this, we're going to experience this power, and we're going to understand it in realms and depths and dimensions that we've yet to experience before. And we're going to see this power release in our lives in new ways. That's how we gain testimonies, is by the power of God. Miracles come about when the power of God is tapped into, because we understand that God is able to do the exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. God is able to do the impossible. God is able to do what humanly speaking is impossible. And so that's, so I stopped at that scripture in verse 20, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So it talks about how Christ was raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, he went to heaven. He presented his blood to the Father as our atoning sacrifice. His blood didn't just cover up our sins, but it completely washed it. It was for the remission of sins, which means it wiped away our sins as if our sins didn't even exist. It washed it so clean that you could take something scarlet and it was made red, something bloody, something crimson red, and you would make it as white as snow. It was a complete turnaround. Any stain of sin was completely washed away. The Bible says he has put your sin as far as the east is from the west. That it's, there's no way that the east and west could ever touch. And so what he did was he brought the blood to the Father. He brought it to the throne and he presented it. And then it says that the power of God seated Jesus at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. So he was in a place of authority and power and dominion, far above every other power, dominion, and might that there ever was, is, and will ever be. Far above every name that has a name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet. So this is just talking about the authority in Christ Jesus, talking about the power that's now been made available to us. And he gave Christ to be the head over all things for the church's benefit, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So I read from 15 to 23. That was the last verse of Ephesians 1 there, verse 23. I encourage you to read this. Read these scriptures daily and have the word of God come alive to you. When you do, when you read this and you pray this daily, what's going to happen? This is what the ministers that I've heard share on this before. The Bible is going to become alive to you. The gospel is not just going to be a story that someone else is able to share and preach. It's going to be alive to you. You're going to be able to preach the gospel. You're going to be able to tell someone about the saving power of Jesus in detail. You're going to understand what you've never understood before from the word of God. You're going to understand the depth of what Christ truly did for you. You're going to be grateful and appreciative like you've never been before of what Christ has done. You're going to love him more than you've ever loved him. You're going to be understanding of all that he's done. And there's more. If you already know this, there's more for you. The eyes of your heart will start to give you revelation. You're going to start to see things that you've never seen before. And so I encourage you to pray this prayer, get in your word, let the Holy Spirit give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation, and the knowledge of him, that you may know him more and you would have a hunger to seek him, just like Paul, that your greatest desire would be just like Paul, that you would want to know him more and the power of his resurrection. So I hope this encouraged you and blessed you today. And I'm excited. We have a lot of big things coming up. We have our big September bash at the end of the month. Invite someone. We're giving out tickets to win an iPad, $500. So this is your chance to bring people and hear the gospel. It's going to be a great harvest of souls. The word's going to be powerful. Same with the worship. We have food. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I encourage y'all all to be there. And I'll see you next time on the podcast. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, you can always stay up to date with us and even message us on Instagram at YA_PowerOfLove. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.